Your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians chapter 1, page 1257 in your Scofield Reference Bible. And beginning with the 8th verse, we will read through verse 13. The 12th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 through 13. We'll read the verses responsively. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And let's pray. Father, thank you for Sunday, for our church. Thank you for the great ministry here that is known in many places. And, of course, thank you for the privilege that is ours in being a part of it. We pray that you'd help us to concentrate upon the word as it's preached, not only that it might be heard with the ears, but that we might be doers of thy word as well. And so bless, we pray, each listener and our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning. By the way, I want to apologize for the temperature. It's the air conditioning is off for the winter, of course, and we have to shut it down for the winter. And this is a warmer day than usual, and we have no day ever in the history of our church, in all these years been keeping records of the temperature in this auditorium, where it was this warm this time of year. And so we've got it as going as cool as we can get it. But if you're a little warm this morning, just remember that everybody has burdens and heartaches. Some folks are blind, and some are in high hell hostage in Lebanon, and then you're too warm in church. And so everybody's got burdens, and God's going to give you a special reward for staying awake while I preach this morning. And I'm going to give you a special reward if you don't stay awake while I preach this morning. I want to talk to you for a while on the subject. Hit the devil with whatever stick you have in your hands. It's only fair to say the title is better than the sermon, but and that's probably the loudest amen I'll get the rest of the time. But that's the title of it. Hit the devil with whatever stick you have in your hands. Our Heavenly Father, bless us as we think of this truth this morning. Bless our preaching and our teaching and our learning and our response. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read to you, without your turning to it, some of Philippians. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was in jail. He was bound like handcuffs, something like our handcuffs, to a jailer. He was a prisoner, and they would handcuff him to a jailer. And the jailers, they were the ones that were bound because they were stuck with a Baptist preacher do nothing but witness to him all the time. And I'm sure they got the place where they flip a coin to see who got to not be with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle wrote one time and he said, "The saints in Caesar's household salute you." That was the converts he had had while he was in jail there, being bound with handcuffs to these poor fellows and who had to listen to what Paul said. And Paul won many of them to Christ. Now, that's the conditions under which he said, I gave our text this morning, he said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel." And here's what he says, what he just said. "So that in my bonds in Christ," he's in jail, "are manifest in all the palace." He said, "I've been witnessing all over the palace. Every time they gave me a new guard, I witnessed to him. And and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Then I want to read just a few verses to you from that same book. Paul said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And all of those things deal with Paul's background. And with that in mind, I want you to not forget my text. Paul said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was in prison. And he used this particular circumstance to get the gospel out. Most of the epistles of Paul, or many of them, if not most of them, were written while Paul was in prison. Paul didn't sit there and lament. He said, I'll take these handcuffs and beat the devil in the head a while with these handcuffs. And he said, they think they're binding me. I'm bounding them. They're the ones that want to get away. I'm preaching the gospel to them, trying to get them saved. They're the ones that want to get away. And I remember one time Paul was being accused, and they had him on trial. The Pharisees and the Sadducees both got together for one time. See, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they got together to try Paul. They were going to kill him. And Paul was on trial. And what did Paul do? Little old bug-eyed runt with a squeaky voice. He's hollered out, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. And the Pharisees said, amen, so do we. And the Sadducees said, shut up. We don't believe that heresy. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees got in a fight with each other, and Paul snuck out the side door while they were killing each other. And what did he do? Paul was simply saying, whatever stick I've got, Paul said, the devil gives me a stick. I'll hit him back with it. And whatever I've got, I'm going to use. That's what he said. He said, I used everything that happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, he's not saying just that everything God did to me for the furtherance of the gospel. No, he's not saying that alone. He's saying, I took everything that I got. Every time I got something, whatever happened to me, I took hold of it and I used it for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Years ago, I found out this truth. I decided, that's one reason why I tell so many things about my life. I want to use everything that's ever happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. I want to grab this every stick the devil's ever given me, and I want to beat the devil out of him with it. And it's hard to do, to beat the devil out of the devil, but I want to do that. I was a poor boy, and I've used that through the years for the furtherance of the gospel. I wonder how many people will be in heaven because I was a poor boy. You know, we probably wouldn't have a bus ministry here if I had not been a poor kid. And you know, if we didn't have a bus ministry here, there have been thousands of churches across America that probably would never have had bus ministries. I wonder how many boys and girls and people are poor. I wonder how many are in Sunday school and church this morning and how many get saved today because I was a poor boy. What are you saying? I'm saying don't be ashamed that you're poor. Take your poverty and beat the devil out of the devil with it. I've taken that, the stick that God gave me, and I've used it for the furtherance of the gospel. I wonder how many young preachers there are, preachers across America, who said to me, Dr. Howes, I heard you preach. You told about your poverty. You told how timid you were. We took a tour yesterday of my roots. Met the contest winners. I preached Friday night in Dallas area, and the contest winners for our big day took their trip. And I met them yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, and we went everywhere from the place I was born to every step of the way until the high school where I graduated. And as we left, finally it was over, and after six and a half hours, I said, look at that window right up there. And they looked up there, top window on the right in the high school facing it, and they looked up. I said, here's what happened in that room right there. I was a senior in high school. I had made the honor roll all the way through. I was up to make the National Honor Society for all the way through. I was going to get a 4-year Lenz pen. I was going to graduate with high honors. And Everything was on top. All of my goals just about made, but I couldn't make a speech. But I had to make a speech to close out the public speaking course. Miss Hetty, I hate her to this. No, I don't love her to this day. And so I said to my friend Richard Newton beside me, I said, Richard, you know I'm too timid to make a speech. I can't make a speech. There's no way in the world I can make a speech. And he said, well, you've got to pass. I said, Richard, I can't do it. I said, well, I got an idea. I'm going to faint. I'm going to fake a faint. And you carry me out. Walter McCallum was on the other side. I said, Walter, you pick up my feet. Richard, you pick up my arms. Carry me out. Miss Hetty will have mercy on me. She'll pass me, and I'll make the 4-year honor roll, graduate honors, and make the National Honor Society and everything. Okay, so Walter said, I'll grab his feet. Richard, I'll grab your leg, your arms. And so I get up, and I couldn't make a speech. I was too timid. And I just fainted. Well, at least I faked the faint. And I was telling those folks, that happened right there in that room, right there, 74 years ago. And so Miss Hetty, she just got hysterical. Oh, she said, and I was laying on the floor. Oh, she said, he's fainted. She's fainted. Oh, take him to the principal's office. Take him to the clinic. And Walter jumped up, grabbed my feet. Richard grabbed me under the arms. And the dirty traitor tickled me in under the arm like that. And I began laughing. And you know what she did? That narrow-minded teacher, she flunked me for that course. I don't understand that. But I wonder how many men are in the ministry have told me across the country, I thought I could never be a preacher, but you told about your childhood and how timid you were, about how that you couldn't make a speech. And because of that, God called me to preach, and I'm in the ministry. What am I saying? I'm taking my timidity of childhood and beating the devil out of the devil with it. That's what I'm going to say. That took that stick and my poverty. I had a drunkard daddy. And I could be quiet about it, but I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm going to tell about it. I'm going to tell about daddy dying without Christ. And I'm going to tell about the fact that he almost got saved. You say, why? I wonder how many thousands of people have won their daddies to Christ because my daddy died an unsaved death. There's not a month that passes, but I don't get letters from people across the nation and around the world that say, I just got my daddy saved. I heard your tape on God's calls to soul winning, and I heard about your daddy and about your sister, her dream and so forth, and how your daddy died without Christ. And I said, I'm going to win my daddy. And I did win him to Christ. What are they doing? I'm taking a stick that I have, and I'm beating the devil with it. That's what. I had a godly mother. And I've used it for the furtherance of the gospel. You know I have often again. I was a paratrooper, and I used that for the furtherance of the gospel. I was out here in Hessville soul winning, and knocked on a door. I rang the doorbell. Nobody answered. Rang it again. Nobody answered. Knocked on the door. Nobody answered. Finally, a fella up a tree. I said, I'm up here. There was a big tree right there beside the porch, and I looked up, and he was up there pruning the tree. He said, what can I do for you? I said, I'm Jack Hiles, First Baptist Church. He said, I'll be right down. I said, never mind, I'll be right up. I climbed the tree. I sat on a limb out in Hessville, across from him. He was on one limb. I was on the other. I wouldn't dare do that even now. But anyway, I was on the other. And he said, man, where'd you learn to do that? I said, in the paratroopers. He said, were you a paratrooper? I said, I sure was. Why? He said, put her there. He almost fell off the limb. Put her there. He shook my hand. He said, what outfit? I said, 82nd Airborne Division. How many jumps? I said, 19. How many did you make? He said, 140. I said, never mind. Never mind. And I won that man to Christ. Turned to Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus that got saved up a tree. And I told him the gospel and took the stick of the fact that I was a paratrooper and gave a devil a knockout with it. Paul said, the things that have happened to me. Look, did you know that your life is like nobody else's? Did you know the circumstances in your life are unique and nobody has ever had them? And do you know that you have a stick that you can use on the devil that nobody else has? Now use it, use it, use it. But Paul said the things that happened to me. He said the fact that I was of this tribe and the fact that I was reared and trained under Gamaliel and the fact that I persecuted the church. He said, I know, I persecuted Christians. I'd stop church services. I'd drag Christians down the street by the hair of their head and try to kill them. And Paul said, I'm sorry I did it, but I'm going to use it as a part of my testimony. Why? Because that's for the furtherance of the gospel. He said, everything that's ever happened to me, I'm going to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of whatever's happened to you.
Look, if you've had success, use the story of the success for the furtherance of the gospel. If you've been a failure, use your story of failure. I was preaching in Normal, Illinois, and I preached my sermon that I don't preach much anymore. Used to called "You Can Fail, Not Be a Failure." In that sermon, I show how that the way you learn to be a success is by you keep on failing and you keep on failing and you keep on failing and you become a success. I preached that sermon there, Normal, Illinois. I preached the sermon again at Bill Rice Ranch. Fellow walked up to me and he said, "I've heard that sermon before. It changed my life." I said, "How?" He said, "I heard that sermon in Normal, Illinois." He said, "I had just lost. I was a rich man. I was worth $3 million. By the way, this fellow couldn't have been 30 years old. I was worth $3 million. He said, "I lost it in 7 days, every penny of it. Lost $3 million, bankruptcy, in 7 days. And he said, "You came just after I lost it and preached that sermon on you can fail, but you don't have to be a failure." And he said, "I got a hold of that sermon. And he said, I made me a speech on how to lose $3 million in 7 days. And I started making that speech around the country." He said, "I've made more than $3 million now on that speech." What did he do? He took a stick. That's what he did. He took what he had. It happened to him. If you succeeded, pick it up and beat the devil with it and use it for the furtherance of the gospel. If you've been a failure, then use it for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have been victorious, use it for the furtherance of the gospel. If you've suffered defeats, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have good health, use it for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have illness, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have sight, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you're blind, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have strength, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have weakness, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have joy, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have sorrow and heartache, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have fellowship, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you're lonely, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you have a heartbreak or problems or burdens, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you've been promoted, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you're unemployed, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what Paul is saying. By the way, if you've lived a righteous life, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. If you've lived a sinful life, use that for the furtherance of the gospel. I had success as a young preacher. My churches, everything I touched turned to gold. I used it. I've used it. I've talked about it. I made some mistakes in my ministry. And I used them for the furtherance of the gospel. I had to leave my convention. And you've heard about it. My Baptist convention. I'm not silent about it. Why? Everything that's ever happened to me, I want to beat the nasal mucus out of the devil. Maybe you know what that is, but you know what it's not. But I want to beat it out of the devil. Why? I want everything I can get my hand on, brother. Yesterday we drove up 1531 Exeter, and where we used to live. And I said, "Right there, fellas and ladies, right there, that spot right there, a Catholic priest came to our house one Sunday afternoon to get me to go play baseball for the Catholic team on a Sunday." And my mother was on the front porch and said, "What do you want, Mr. Becker?" She wouldn't call him father, because the Bible says don't do it. She said, "What do you want, Mr. Becker?" And he called himself Father Becker. And he said, "Jack is the best baseball shortstop. We want him." Maybe it's pitching. I forget what it was. But we're allowed to use one non-Catholic fellow for the championship game, and we want Jack to play for us. My mother tried to find something to get to the priest with, and she couldn't find it. I pointed right where it was yesterday, and all she could find inside the house was a broom. She grabbed that broom. She took that broom and came out there swinging that thing just like that. And that priest was dodging and running and dodging like that. What'd you do? I mean, she wanted to get at him. She picked up whatever was there. That's all. Like old Uncle Bud Robinson used to say, "I'm going to fight the devil as long as I've got a fist. I'm going to bite him as long as I've got a tooth. Then I'm going to gum him till I die." That's what he's saying. Listen, you've got some weapons nobody else can use. Use them. Use them. You've got a stick that nobody else can wield. Use it. Paul said, "Everything that's ever happened to me, I picked it up and I beat the devil with it." I My daddy died without Christ. And I use it for the furtherance of the gospel. For 28 years, I had an awful cough when I'd preach, and I couldn't preach without having to cough dozens and dozens of times. But I picked it up and used it for the furtherance of the gospel. In October 1984, God healed me of it, bless God. And I don't have to cough while I preach anymore, thank God. And I used that story for the furtherance of the gospel. I used to play softball, and I tell about it and use it for the furtherance of the gospel. My mama's death, all that could die of her a few years ago, when she went to heaven, I tell the story and use it for the furtherance of the gospel. When the building was torn down across the alley and I made the mistake and tore down the wrong building, I tell about it. Why? I want some preacher to get encouraged because Brother Howes makes mistakes too. And I use it for the furtherance of the gospel. When I have had heartbreaks in my life, and I've not had as many of you, but I've had a few, when I've had them, I've used them for the furtherance of the gospel. When I've had victories, I've used the victories for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm saying I'm not going to let the devil get, if the devil gives me something, or anybody ever start coming at you with a stick or something, and then they stick a swing at it, and you got a hold of the stick and pulled it out of their hands, and you start swinging it at them? That's what it's talking about. Paul said the devil thinks he's got me in jail, but he hasn't. I got him in jail. He's saying the Roman Empire thinks they got me bound. He said, I'm just getting the gospel of the Roman Empire, and they're the ones that are bound. Why? I'm taking the stick that God has given me. I'm using it for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what I'm doing. But I can't use yours. You've got one nobody else has. Use it. Oh, I'm so tired of people being ashamed of their past. So tired of, listen, if you've got a pretty face, use it for the gospel. If you've got an ugly face, use it. If you built like me, like a brick wall, use it. If you built like Keith, the bag of marshmallows, use it. Use it. Are you a sailor? Then you can win folks I can't win. You live in barracks I don't live in. Use it. There are people that everybody in this room can win to Christ that nobody else can win but you. You have a certain inroad nobody else has. Use it. Paul said, I had a different kind of a childhood. He said, I was of this tribe and this family. And this is my background. He said, I've been beaten and persecuted and left shipwrecked. Now I'm in jail, handcuffed to jailers. I use it. Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi at midnight, and an earthquake came. Paul grabbed the pillar of the jail by one hand and got the jailer by the other, got the jailer saved, got his family saved. What do you? He used the fact that he was in jail for the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, nothing happens accidentally to you. Nothing happens that's an uh-oh as far as God's concerned. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God doesn't ever look down and say, I wonder what's going on. Everything that's ever happened to you, God let it happen to you so you could use it. If you're well, kick the devil with your foot. You're not well, hit him with your crutch. You live the righteous life, tell the world how wonderful it is to live a righteous life. If not, tell the devil how rotten the devil is. Tell the world how rotten the devil is. If you've been kept pure, tell the world how wonderful it is to have a clean and pure conscience. If you've not been pure, then use that and tell young people younger than you how rotten and sorry and wicked the devil is. What a liar he is. Use it. Use it. Use your testimony. If you've been in jail, talk about it. Tell folks how you got there so they won't go there. Use it. Whatever has happened, use it for the furtherance of the gospel. If you've drunk liquor or you've never tasted liquor, use it and praise his name for it. If you have been on liquor, use that and warn people of what it'll do to them and how it'll destroy their lives. If you have good eyes, use them for Jesus. If not, become Patch the Pirate. Ron Hamilton. Young man, handsome young man, beautiful wife, beautiful voice, incomparable musician and marvelous talent. Went for an examination for his eyes and they found something wrong. They just don't know me. I may be the second patch of fire. But found something wrong with his eyes. I wish I hadn't used this illustration. But he and the doctor said, if it's cancer, when you wake up, you won't have a left eye or eye. Now, which one? One or the other, either left or the right, I'm sure of that. And he woke up. He said he'd always wanted, all of his life, a unique identity. He'd always wanted a nickname. He said he woke up. Doctor said it was cancer. Your eye has been removed. He said, I'll become Patch the Pirate. And he has used that removal of his eye to win thousands to Christ. And I want to have my little children have Patch the Pirate. How many of you have a Patch the Pirate tape in your house? Why, of course, you wouldn't have a Patch the Pirate tape unless there was a patch in a pirate. And there wouldn't be any patch in a pirate if he hadn't lost his eye. But instead of lamenting and saying it's all over, he said, no, sir, I'll take that operation and the loss of that one eye, and I'll beat the devil with it. And he got the stick and said, get out of here, devil, and he used it for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what I'm saying this morning. What are you doing about what's happened to you? He said, that's nothing that happened to me. I'm just a little bus kid up in Chicago in the ghetto. Well, bless God, use it. There are folks in the ghetto that listen to you won't listen to me. Use it. If you're a banker, use it. You got a PhD, use it. You're a businessman, use it. What a tragedy for people to be able to operate a business, successful business, and not use that same business knowledge and ability and leadership to get people saved and for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. If you can have good speech, use it. If you can't speak, use that. Down south, several years ago, I walked in the building that night, coming across the back and down the aisle was a very distinguished looking fellow. Looked like a man who was of means, and I thought, now this guy is somebody. I walked over and shook his hand. He began to speak, and this is what he said. I don't need you to learn your mind. And I said, sir, I can't quite understand you. Say it again. The pastor came and said, Dr. Hiles, this is what he's saying. He said that man was one of the outstanding preachers in this area. But that man yielded the gospel, didn't preach it like he should, and did some things he shouldn't have done. And when he did, God reached down and took his ability to speak. And said that's the way he's spoken ever since he left the pulpit. He said he's telling you to keep preaching it. That's what he's telling you. He's telling you to don't bend your message. He's telling you to do it. Every time he comes to a preacher, he does it. What's he doing? Something happened to him, and he said, I'll not lament it. I'll use what I can to warn preachers to stay in the battle for God. He picked up whatever stick he had and used it against the devil. That's what he did. You can see, use your vision for God. If you can't, be a Fanny Crosby. If you're healthy, use all the strength you have. If you've been in an iron lung like Monty over here, use it, dear brother. Almost lost his life again and again and again. Spent much of his youth in an iron lung. What's he doing? He hasn't had the strength that you have. He hurts and pains when he walks. Barely can make it throughout a day. And yet the truth is, he wins more souls to Christ than 99% of the folks in this room who have strong legs and a strong body. He grew up in an iron lung. What's he do? Use it. Get that iron lung and beat the devil in the head with it. That's what he did. Use it. Pick up the stick that's nearest you and let the devil have it. If your child lives, train him. Use that stick as a tool against the devil. If your child is taken in death, use that. I was preaching a year ago in Garland, Levon Dry Baptist Church, where I've been every year for many, many years. I was signing Bibles and course, I used to pastor in Garland, grew up in Dallas. Lady walked up to me and looked like she was my age, a little younger maybe. I'd call it young middle age. And she said, "Do you remember me, Brother Jack?" But anytime anybody called Brother Jack, I know they're from Middle Road. But you call me here, Brother Hiles, and other things that cannot be mentioned in public. But they call me Brother Jack. And I said, "No, one thing, you went to Middle Road because you called me Brother Jack." And she said, "That's right." I said, don't tell me. Nell DeBoard. She said, "That's right." I said, "Well, God bless you, Nell." One day I went by Rolando Street, the corner of Rolando and Miller Road, and knocked on the door. No, did not knock on the door. She was working out in the yard. And I walked up and asked her if she knew she'd die, she'd go to heaven. She said, "No, she didn't. I wanted to Christ out there in the flower bed." She said, "Would you come back tonight and tell my husband, Jake?" I said, "I'd be glad to." That night I went back, and Nell said, "I'll stay out of the way." So she's in the kitchen washing dishes. I mean, you didn't have dishwashers in those days, and used super suds and Oxidol and stuff like that. And she's washing dishes, super suds all like this. And I walked in, and Jake was in the living room, and I won Jake to Christ. And this was in the fall, I guess. And when Jake got saved, Nell came unscrewed. "I want you to know the super suds went all over the kitchen, and she came in there, and they went all over Jake and all over me." But just a few weeks later, a new Christian had a little boy named David, 15 months old. And little David got sick, like your child does, and she thought maybe just a bad cold or bronchitis or something. And so she took Jake to the doctor. When Nell got out of the car to take little 15-month-old Jake up to the doctor, didn't think anything bad wrong with him. All of a sudden, little David quit breathing. And before she got to the doctor's door, little David died in her arms. I went to the house that afternoon. It's Christmas time. I can still see the Christmas tree and David's little presents under that tree. And we buried him in the Christmas season. But Nell DeBoard decided to use that stick against the devil and for God, for the furtherance of the gospel. So Nell DeBoard gets the Dallas newspapers and reads the obituaries. Every time she finds anybody that loses a child in death, Nell DeBoard goes to comfort them, visit them. What is she doing? She's using that stick there for the furtherance of the gospel. I cannot do that. I've never lost a child. I cannot go comfort somebody and say, "I know how you feel because we had a baby that died." I cannot do that, thank God. But Nell could do something I could not do. And you can too. What is the unique thing about your life? You've got something nobody else has. It's a sin. It's a crime for you not to use whatever stick you've got in your hand for the furtherance of the gospel. You've got two good legs, use them. Not, use your stubs. That's what Tim Lee did. Tim Lee was an athlete. Oklahoma. I think it was Oklahoma. Athlete. High school star. Went to Vietnam. Both his legs amputated. What did he do? Became a preacher. Preaches all over the nation. What did he do? He picked up whatever stick he had and used it. He could be sitting and rotting in some institution today. But instead, he's covering the nation, preaching, using whatever stick he has. Down in Florida, preaching. Well-known pastor in Florida. He said, "Dr. Hiles, I want you to meet my best bus captain. Bus captain has the biggest bus route in the church." I walked back with him. Back there in the back is a lady sitting in a wheelchair. He said, "There she is. Biggest bus route in the church. Best bus captain I've got. You folks have been here for years have heard this story. I haven't used it in several years. I was out in Maryland with Dr. Tom Wallace years ago when he used to pastor out there in Elkton, Maryland. But there 11 consecutive years. Standing back at the back of the book table one day, and a preacher said to me, he said, "Dr. Hiles, I want you to meet my secretary." And I expected, of course, to meet some charming lady, and he took me in, took me back like that across back there, and I saw a man sitting there. He said, "This is my secretary." Well, that sort of shocked me.
I reached out to shake the man's hand. Notice he's in a wheelchair. He wouldn't shake my hand. And I said, I'm glad to meet you. And the pastor said, Dr. Howes, you don't understand. My secretary is paralyzed from his neck down. And I said, if you don't mind, could I ask you, how did you get his work done? Who types for him? He said, he types himself. I said, how's he type? He said he's learned how to type with his mouth. He puts the stick in his mouth like that. Types that way. He says, best secretary I ever had. What's he doing? He's using what happened to him for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm talking to people in all this room. You don't use the things that ever happened to you for the furtherance of the gospel. I mean, listen, the devil's running wild. Somebody's got to knock the stuff inside of him. But nobody's doing it. You know why? The rich think they've got too much and it's beneath their dignity and it's not beneath you. I don't care if you've got $50 million and you've got enough bonds to sink the treasury. You're supposed to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. So you guys can sell, but you never win a soul to Christ. What kind of person are you? Whatever's happened to you, use it. But you say, preach, you don't understand. My life has been wrecked by sin. Okay, if you're right with God now, pick that thing up and warn the world how crooked and rotten and sorry the devil is. Use it. I'll say again. Everybody in this room has something unique that you could use for the furtherance of the gospel that no other human being who's ever lived can use. Use it. Pick it up and use it. Use it. Use it. If you're bald-headed and haven't got a hair on your head, start the Bald-Headed Men Evangelistic Association. You can be the president, brother, and I'll be the vice president. You got a big bushy head of hair? First place, you look terrible with a big bushy head of hair. Nothing worse on a man. Women are supposed to have a lot of hair. Men aren't supposed to have any hair except on their chest. But now you wait a minute. What is it you're wasting? Well, I didn't have the opportunity of education. Then use your uneducation. Old Billy Bray did pretty well without any. Uncle Bud Robinson didn't do bad. You heard the tape of the record of Uncle Bud Robinson. Everybody ought to hear it. He couldn't. He had a lisp, and he talked, and he talked like this, and he couldn't pronounce his word very good. But brother, he used that lisp to win thousands and thousands of the Jesus. On his tape record, he has a story. He said, "I was in a hospital, a sick, and I was in the ward, the hospital, a bunch of other people." And he said, "All of a sudden, the Holy Father came in." Said the Holy Father, "This is the fellow here beside me, and if you want me to confess anything to me," and never heard that sin that man confessed to the Holy Father. He said he came over here on the other side of me and said, "You got anything you won't confess to me?" He said, "Woo, Lord have mercy." The thing that man confessed, that Holy Father. He said the Holy Father came over to me and said, "You got anything you won't confess to me?" I said, "Yes, I so do. I got something I won't confess to you." He said, "Okay, then you go ahead and confess away." He said, "Before I confess, I won't make it secret. I want your ear right down close to my mouth." He said, the Holy Father put his ear right down my mouth and said, "What do you want to confess to me?" He said, "I want to confess. I'm born again. I'm saved. On my way to glory." Said, the last time I saw the Holy Father, he'd walk and run down the corridor of the hospital. Use it. Use it. Paul said, "I was in jail. I used it for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul said, "I was beaten. I used it for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul said, "I was persecuted. I used it for the furtherance of the gospel." And you have something Paul does not have. Use whatever you got. Use it. Good night. Quit using it to yak, 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 yak and criticize. Use your tongue for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your eyes for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your hands for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your feet for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your education for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your car for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your health for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your sickness for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your strength for the furtherance of the gospel. Use your weakness for the furtherance of the gospel. Just pick up whatever stick you can find and knock the nasal mucus out of old smutty face. Would you bow your heads?